Chapter 2. Rise and Fall. Lucy anxiously scanned the moonlit ocean, searching for signs of the faithful in their wake. Boston Harbor was long gone, and with it the smoldering remains of the tower in which she and Shona had fought so desperately. A wave caught Lucy off guard, jabbing the binocular rims against her eyes. She swore, rubbing her eyeballs, while Ruth grunted with schadenfreude. "Have you always been able to navigate by night?" asked Lucy, her eyes throbbing. "Sure," said the sailor tersely as she noted the time against her chart. The moonlight accentuated the woman's hard features. Her crow's feet appeared deeper, while the gray in her hair shone whiter, and the pits around her eyes sagged further. "I didn't catch your name earlier," said Lucy. "Ruth," replied the woman curtly. "I'm Lucy," said Lucy, extending a hand to Ruth, who ignored it and continued studying the chart, the corner of which protruded from the clipboard and flapped in the breeze. Lucy cast her eyes around the dark expanse. As she stared at the water, she felt a sense of calm descending on her. A cluster of glimmering white dots shone out close to the surface, making the crests of overhead waves twinkle as they rose and fell with a steady rhythm. The glow was soothing. Lucy tried to focus more carefully, but she didn't want to lift the binoculars again. She didn't want to do anything other than stare at that beautiful, glistening patch of ocean as it idly edged towards them. Her shoulders dropped and she sighed with contentment. The binoculars fell to the deck with a clatter. "Watch it," scorned Ruth, giving her a shove. Lucy jolted out of the trance and rubbed her eyes. With a splash, the cluster of glimmering dots vanished from view, fading quickly as the unknown source sank further into the depths below. "They were expensive," Ruth muttered, scooping the binoculars up and shoving them into Lucy's stomach. Lucy yelped with pain as Ruth's hand brushed against her concealed wound.
"You kidding me? What are you, soft? Hell, I thought you might just be old enough to be a normal adult, too. But no, you're one of them. The soft generation," grumbled Ruth.
"Sorry, I'm not great at sea," gasped Lucy, trying to regain composure. She wasn't sure there'd ever be a good time to tell Ruth about the shredded purple flesh hanging from her abdomen, but she figured hours after she'd unwittingly brought death to the woman's door might not be the best time. Lucy glanced back out at the ocean, hoping for another glimpse of the transfixing dots, but they were gone. "I might head below. I don't feel 100%.
"You do that. I'm sure you've had a rough day," snorted Ruth.
Lucy edged around the helm towards the cabin hatch. She lifted one of the tilted wooden flaps and took a step down, then turned to the sailor. "Thanks. For, you know," said Lucy.
"Oh, fuck off already,"
said Ruth, engrossed in making adjustments to her sextant. Lucy descended the short set of wooden steps into the cabin. Fliss was awake and sitting on one of the saloon berths, illuminated by a slither of moonlight coming through the cabin window overhead. Her sleeve was rolled up and she was tracing her fingers across the raw, bumpy lesions that covered her arm. On her lap sat a copy of Navigation Essentials. She jumped at the sound of Lucy's footsteps and hastily tugged her sleeve down, attempting to act casual.
"Your skin's getting worse, isn't it?" said Lucy.
"I'm fine," said Fliss, sniffing. "We'll find help when we get to DC," said Lucy.
"Assuming we get that far," said Fliss,
pointing to the thin wooden tile they'd fixed over the smashed window opposite. The remains of the cabin drawer they'd butchered for the repair poked out of a plastic bag beneath. Fliss shifted in her seat and drew her heels closer to her back, covertly trying to wipe a tear from her eye.
"You guys did great earlier,"
said Lucy, placing an arm around her. Fliss nodded, leaning into Lucy and squeezing her hand briefly. She sobbed twice, then abruptly shook Lucy off and turned away, exhaling deeply and slapping her cheek several times.
"I can't sleep like this. I'm gonna go get some air," said Fliss, scratching her arm again as she slid out from the couch.
She clambered up the steps, leaving Lucy alone in the saloon. Lucy's abdomen panged painfully. She rose to her feet with a grunt and edged into the gloomy fore cabin. Jack was asleep on the left side of the V-shaped couch. There was just enough room for Lucy to take the other side if she curled up. She flopped down onto the berth, her skin tingling and her mind swirling from the escape.
Shona fastened the crimson medallion around Lucy's neck, then swept her long hair back into place. She spun Lucy around so she could see herself in the dressing mirror, which was studded with sparkling white LEDs. The gown fitted perfectly, a soft white robe embroidered with touches of silver, which formed an oval with a line through the center.
"You ready, sis?" said Shona, beaming at her.
"I'm kinda nervous," said Lucy with a grin.
"Stop it. They love you,"
said Shona, sweeping Lucy up in a bear hug. Shona released her with a giggle and stepped back, holding on to Lucy's shoulders as she admired her half-sister for a moment longer. With an excited squeak, she took Lucy by the arm and led her to the end of the dressing room.
"There's no looking back now,"
said Shona with a smile as the double doors opened before them. They stepped forward into the hotel conference room. It was filled with lilies and packed with rows of well-wishers sitting on decorated chairs. The congregation's necks were craned, watching with eager anticipation as Lucy shuffled to the edge of the crimson aisle. At the far end, on the stage, stood the preacher, resplendent in his own gown of white.
"I'm right behind you,"
said Shona, whispering into Lucy's ear and giving her arm a squeeze. Lucy stepped down the aisle, her heart light with excitement. Members of the congregation whispered their congratulations as she passed by, urging her on with earnest smiles and wide eyes. As Lucy reached the front, she knelt before the preacher. He placed a warming hand over her head and addressed the crowd.
"Today, my brothers and sisters, is a joyous day. That which was lost has been found. That which was loved shall be loved again. Today we welcome our newest member into our family forever. Here and now we vow to protect, to nurture, and to cherish our new sister, Lucy, as our own flesh and blood. In the name of Our Lady, do you witness?" declared the preacher.
"We do,"
chimed the crowd emphatically.
"Then it is so. Rise, Sister Lucy. Welcome home,"
boomed the preacher, extending a hand and helping Lucy to her feet with a smile. He pulled her into a warm embrace, which Shona piled into gleefully as the congregation cheered and applauded in delight. Lucy stepped back from the embrace, beaming.
"Lucy, are you ready for your first act of devotion to your family?"
said the preacher. "I am," declared Lucy proudly. The preacher clapped his hands and the doors at the side of the room opened. Two ushers in black robes dragged a struggling hooded figure to the stage. The person's jeans were torn, their body thin, and their skin pitted with scabs. Their t-shirt was ill-fitting and damp with sweat marks. The ushers thrust the struggling captive onto their knees and held them in place as the figure writhed against the zip ties binding their wrists. Lucy felt something cold and jagged press into the palm of her hand.
"You'll need this," whispered Shona with a wink.
Lucy unfurled her fingers and examined the sharp gray rock. She looked back at the struggling wretch. Damp patches were spreading across the person's shirt.
"Behold the sinner,"
declared the preacher. An usher ripped the figure's t-shirt apart from the waist up to their ribcage, revealing a squirming bulge of wet, shiny flesh covered in purple and red streaks. The crowd rose to their feet in disgust, hurling abuse at the hooded figure who struggled against their cords. Lucy gripped the stone tightly as the figure's abdomen writhed further with the dark purple patch kicking frantically against its dripping, fleshy prison. The congregation's cries rose to a fever pitch. Lucy's new family stood all around her, stones in hand, waiting for her to act, begging her to do her duty. A wave of nausea swept over her as she stared at the mutated captive in disgust. Her eyes locked on the thrashing purple bulge, and the hate within her grew. She felt hot blood seep between her fingers as she clenched the sharp rock with rage. She raised the stone above her head and drew her arm back, and with a scream cried out,
"Sinner!"
Lucy awoke with a jolt, gasping for breath. A red overhead light shone through the cabin. Someone called her name.
Come on,
cried Jack, blinding her with his headlight. Lizzie flinched as he tossed a life jacket and flashlight at her before rushing out of the fore cabin. Lucy sat up sharply and banged her head on the low ceiling, then fell backwards as the boat heeled.
Lucy,
repeated Jack, yelling from the companionway. Rain lashed the cabin skylight as the wind dumped gallons of water on top of them in clusters. The sky swirled with every hue of gray while the boat rocked heavily in the opposite direction, throwing Lucy from her bed. She pulled a life vest on and hurried forward, tightening it as she bounded between the sides of the narrow corridor. Her sea boots squeaked on the wooden floor as she rushed after Jack, fumbling her headlamp into place. More sheets of rain landed on the boat like sacks of gravel, soaking the steps as Lucy struggled to climb. She tripped over the lip of the deck and landed by Ruth's feet.
Get up and grab hold,
yelled Ruth, who was dressed head to toe in an orange storm suit and also wearing a headlight. Thick, tumbling clouds enclosed them in every direction. Lightning streaked horizontally through the storm like a boomerang. Lucy let out an involuntary cry as the boat began to climb, causing the rear to dip down, revealing a 20-foot drop to the thrashing ocean behind. In a flash, the watery abyss disappeared as they plunged over the crest of the wave. Lucy slid fast across the deck, straight towards the gaping cabin hatch. With a yelp, she kicked out, bracing her legs against the frame, narrowly dodging the fall.
I said, get up!
Ruth yelled, battling the helm. Lucy dragged herself to her feet and clung to the railing, trembling.
Get the storm drogue and throw it overboard!
Yelled Ruth, her face obscured by the sheets of rain.
What?
Cried Lucy, wiping icy sea spray from her face.
The storm drogue! The big yellow bag! Find it!
Yelled the sailor.
I don't know what that is! Cried Lucy.
Damn it to hell! Take this! Look ahead! Aim for the waves! Do not let us turn side on!
Shouted Ruth, grabbing Lucy and shoving her hands on the helm.
Wait! I can't!
Began Lucy.
Keep us pointed at the waves! Don't fuck it up!
Yelled Ruth, slapping Lucy in the jaw before leaping into the cabin below. Lucy stared ahead at the convulsing ocean, her terrified brain trying to make sense of the unrelenting, folding, and colliding seascape. Strips of white stretched and contracted across the black waves like the sinews of meat being tenderized. The ever-darkening clouds became one with the water as Lucy's horizon tumbled uncontrollably. At the front of the boat, an orange storm sail pressed outwards, straining under the force of the gale. Before it, through the sheets of rain, Lucy could see the flashlights of two yellow-tipped figures trying to hoist a second, larger sail. Jack slipped, only for Fliss to catch him as he skidded across the deck. He scrambled back to the mast and clung on in terror. His sister heaved on the rope, using the weight of her whole body to edge the orange trysail upward as it clung to the boom, clamped down by the wind. A wave struck the port side bow like a hammer. Water swept across the deck, knocking Lucy clean off her feet and into the taffrail. She clung on desperately as a torrent of water drained from the surface, dragging through her as it raced to the sea behind. The boat heeled again as the next wave rose, and Lucy scrambled back to the helm. She grabbed the wheel and heaved, turning them to face the oncoming wave. Up ahead, the two teens had abandoned their attempts to raise the trysail, leaving it compromised at half-mast while they clung to the boat in desperation. Ruth reappeared on deck, clutching a large yellow sack. She clipped it onto the railing behind Lucy and tossed it into the swirling sea. Lucy felt something clip around her waist. Ruth pulled the safety harness tight around Lucy, then seized the helm from her.
Christ, I said keep it pointed!
She yelled, leaning hard into the wheel.
Get that damned sail up and get them below.
Lucy clung to the railing with both hands and stared at her.
Go,
bellowed the sailor, shoving her forwards. As Lucy took a terrified step, the boat lurched sideways. Gravity pressed her against the starboard railing, which she seized with both hands as her tethers strained against the jackstays. A wall of water reached out to her as the boat fell towards the waves below. At the last second, the boat heeled again, flinging Lucy in the opposite direction and yanking the rope taut around her bony waist. She swiped at the lashing rain in a futile bid to clear it from her dripping brow. With her face pressed to the deck, clinging to the central grab rails, she heaved herself forwards until she reached the teens. Jack was clinging to the mast with one hand, while his other arm was tucked into his chest.
"Grab my hand!"
she yelled to the petrified boy, trying to make her voice heard over the storm. Jack shook his head, his eyes squeezed shut, his jaw slack with fear.
"Come on!" yelled Lucy, edging closer. "His arm's broken!"
shouted Fliss, gesturing emphatically as the wind swallowed her words. Lucy gripped the central rail again as water crashed over the side.
"You gotta get the sail up! I'll get your brother!"
she cried. She signaled to Fliss, and the pair prepared to maneuver.
"Jack, let go of the mast, and I'll catch you! On three!"
called Lucy. The boy redoubled his grip and began to wail with terror, his cries mingling with those of the wind.
"Tell him!"
Lucy urged Fliss as another crack of lightning shot by, followed immediately by a cacophonous boom of thunder.
"On three!"
cried Fliss, grabbing her brother by his sodden hair and pulling his chin up to meet her eyes. She took hold of his working arm and counted down, before wrestling him away from the mast. He slid with a yell as the boat tilted toward Lucy. She caught him clumsily around the torso, taking the impact of his fall hard against her chest. He cried out in pain as she gripped him, knocking his broken arm.
"The sail!"
yelled Lucy as Fliss watched her brother anxiously. Fliss rose up and attacked the rope once again. Lucy dragged the quivering boy to the stern. Their movements were barely controlled as the deck slid out from beneath them and waves crashed in from all directions. With immense effort, she heaved Jack to the steps. She swiveled his legs around to face the cabin hatch and planted his working hand firmly on the railing, then left him and hurried back for Fliss. Lucy stumbled and crawled back towards the mast as the swirling seas threw her across the deck. Reaching Fliss, she grabbed hold of the rope and heaved in sync with the girl, hauling the orange sail off the boom and raising it toward the furious sky.
"That's enough!"
cried Lucy, tying the rope off. Fliss clung to the mast, her face drained of all color. Without warning, the boat dropped a dozen feet, throwing Lucy and Fliss onto their sides like bowling pins. Lucy caught the girl in a koala grip as the boat landed hard on another coursing wave, which yanked Lucy's harness taut.
"Use your legs!"
yelled Lucy as she pushed the pair of them along the deck with her heels, clinging to whatever ropes and grip rails she could find.
"Hurry up! Get below!"
cried Ruth as they neared the helm. For the first time, the sailor looked truly afraid. Fliss stumbled down into the cabin. Lucy unclipped herself and leapt after her, landing clumsily on the galley floor. Ruth followed after them and pulled the cabin doors closed, shutting out the torrential rain.
"Save your lights,"
she wheezed as waves battered the boat, causing the red light above to flicker. The four clung to the floor, gasping and dripping. Each straggler desperately pressed themselves into a corner, seizing upon any crevice that could brace them against the rolling waves. The hull creaked and groaned as waves pummeled the vessel, tossing the terrified group from side to side. Jack cried out in pain as the swinging cooker struck his arm. Mugs, cutlery, cushions, all tumbled out of their holdings and through the cabin as the boat rocked. Lightning flashed by the windows, followed closely by more body-shaking thunder. The boat began to climb once again. Lucy felt water pooling around her feet, sweeping with it more floating debris from the cabin. The red light cut out, plunging them into darkness. Lucy drew her heels in tightly as more water rushed through the black cabin. Cries of fear and pain punctuated the onslaught, feeding Lucy's panic as the battering waves overwhelmed her senses. As the vessel tumbled and plummeted through the writhing ocean, she closed her eyes in terror and surrendered to the seas.